Hello, and welcome to the Self-Hypnosis for Musicians podcast. Perhaps you're interested in using hypnosis to help you achieve the goals that you've set for yourself, or perhaps you're just curious and interested to learn more. If you're thinking of trying some of the many hypnosis products that are out there at the moment, but find yourself being skeptical or even nervous about what happens in hypnosis, then you've come to the right place. Without having to wade through page after page on hypnosis websites, you can just listen to this podcast and become equipped with all the knowledge and information that you need to make the right choices. So let's start. First of all, I'm going to go through a basic FAQ about hypnosis. Firstly, what is hypnosis? Well, I once found a wonderful definition of hypnosis. Check this out. Hypnosis in therapy is the heuristic reassociation of dysfunctional unconscious patterns leading to a new attitudinal synthesis. Ha! Rocket science, then. No, actually, quite the opposite. Hypnosis is a state of mind that we've all experienced before. It's a naturally occurring state, somewhere between wakefulness and sleep. Scientists will tell you that your brainwave pattern will be in the theta band, as opposed to beta, which is wide awake, and delta, which is asleep. But as far as you're concerned, it's best described as being in a daydream, or in a trance-like state, if you like. And you'll recognize this. There are lots of examples of everyday trances. When you daydream, you're in a light trance. You'll remember that detached feeling you had at school when you gazed out of the window in a really boring geography lesson. Or perhaps you're sitting in a really comfortable chair and your eyes are fixed on the flames in the log fire. Or when you're glazing over during a conversation with someone really boring. Oh, sorry, I was miles away then. What was that you were saying? You'll find yourself being momentarily focused on just one thing. You'll be aware of your surroundings, but you won't particularly feel like blinking or moving. You'll just be transfixed, if you like, or entranced. For a few moments, your mind filters everything else out, except this one thing. And here's another everyday trance. Imagine you're at the movies. The film is fantastic. It's exciting. It's exhilarating. It's emotional. And it's terrifying. But why? It's only a projection on the screen. Well, the more focused you are on the film, the more the fact that it's a projection on the cinema screen is kept at the unconscious level. Pretty soon you become so caught up in the story that you are entranced by the film. All the emotional content of the film is going straight to your unconscious mind without being vetted by your conscious mind. You believe it. You laugh and you cry. And lots of other things will be kept at the unconscious level. The smell of the stale popcorn will still be there, but that filter mechanism will decide not to trouble your conscious mind with such a trivial bit of sensory information. And it doesn't stop there. For the duration of the film, all those niggling worries about money, relationships, or work will be kept at bay. And what a relief it is. Some people call it escapism. I call it trance. If it's a good enough film, you will even filter out pain or discomfort. And that's analgesia. And what about those really exciting bits of the film when we have a handful of popcorn halfway between the bucket and your mouth and your arm just won't move? This is catalepsy. And these are both scientifically recognized states in profound hypnosis. And here we are experiencing them in a cinema on a Saturday night. Trance really is an everyday occurrence. And it's one that we can use to great benefit. So, you're in the cinema watching the film and you are totally absorbed. Your brain is still monitoring your surroundings, but it's not sending this information to your conscious mind. Your unconscious mind, however, is still acknowledging everything. If the smell of popcorn were to change to the smell of burning, it would sense the possible emergency and it would break you out of your trance. Your unconscious mind is like your guardian angel. It keeps a constant vigil day and night, protecting you from danger and keeping you safe. And it's this filtering process in the brain which is the key to understanding hypnosis. Using the guidance of a skillful hypnotherapist or the voice on a CD, you can deepen this daydream state. So the next question is, how can this trance state be useful? Well, when you're in trance, you can communicate with your unconscious mind. And why would I want to do that, I hear you ask? Well, firstly, let's define what the unconscious mind, or as some people would call it, the subconscious mind, actually is. Okay, you've probably heard statements like, we only use 5% of our brains. Well, yep, I'll go along with that, sort of. Obviously, the rest of the brain is still being used for something, otherwise it wouldn't be the size that it is. It might be safer to say that our conscious mind only uses 5% of our brain. Perhaps our unconscious mind uses the other 95%. Now, let's think of all the things that you never think about. Breathing, pulse rate, sweating, growing, healing, digesting, blinking, even waking up in the morning. The subconscious mind looks after all of this for you. And there are millions of things right now that you might not be conscious of until I mention them. Like the feeling of the back of the chair on your shoulders. The sound of the traffic outside. The memory of your first bicycle. Now, as I mentioned them to you, your brain's filter diverted the information up into your conscious mind. Your brain monitors the sum total of everything that you're experiencing and only sends the important, relevant information to you, your conscious mind. For example, imagine you're in a crowded room where everyone is chatting away, creating a hubbub of noise. Now, if someone in the room starts talking about you and mentions your name, your filter will pick that out of the noise and alert you to it. Here's another example. Imagine you're scanning through a broadsheet newspaper, and suddenly you just know that you saw the name Brittany there somewhere on the page. I saw it there somewhere, I just know I did. And then you have to spend 10 minutes trying to find it again. Your unconscious mind takes in the whole page, and it will filter out the relevant bits and send the information to your conscious mind. Your brain is, at this very moment, taking in a staggering amount of information. If you were aware of it all, with no filter in place, you'd go nuts. So, thank goodness, we only use 5% of our brains. So what else does your unconscious mind do? Well, it also stores your emotions. And I'm sure you already know how difficult it can be to override your emotions. The unconscious mind always wins. Walk across a plank spanning two tall buildings, and your emotions will very quickly present themselves to you, even though your conscious mind knows that you're perfectly capable of walking in a straight line. Similarly, if you've been nervous for an audition or a performance before, then you probably unconsciously believe that you will be again next time. And this we can change. Wouldn't it be fantastic to go into any performance situation feeling confident and in control? And so long as you prepare properly, there's no reason why you shouldn't. We just need to overwrite some of your self-limiting beliefs with some more empowering ones. And this is when we do it, when we're in trance. If the brain's filter mechanism focuses on just one thing, now it could be your breathing or a sensation or a thought, or a swinging pocket watch if you're into corny old movies, all the other sensory information that's being monitored by your brain is not being forwarded to your consciousness, including the suggestions on a hypnosis CD. Your brain, amazing bit of kit that it is, still hears the words, it just doesn't see the point of alerting your conscious mind to it. It hears the suggestion, thinks, I like the sound of that, and it acts upon it. Now, I can hear you thinking that you could go around hypnotizing people to give you all their money, or to get them to tell their boss that he's an orangutan, or to run naked through the Arndale Centre singing, "Don't push your granny when she's shaving." But fortunately, the unconscious mind has another function. It's your very own guardian angel. If you'll excuse the Star Trek term, its prime directive is to keep you safe. It will under no circumstances accept any suggestions that are potentially harmful or against your code of ethics. It's such a shame that Hollywood has misunderstood hypnosis and portrayed it so woefully inaccurately. You can't be brainwashed, you can't get stuck in trance forever, and you will not quack like a duck unless that is something that you particularly want to do. Now then, let's look at what happens in a hypnosis session, be it with a therapist or on a CD. Firstly, the induction. Now, this talks you down into a deeply relaxed state, and when the body relaxes, so too does the mind. You experience a tranquil peacefulness. your mind balance somewhere between being awake and asleep, but still 100% aware. You'll perhaps know that your nose itches, but you can't be bothered to move your hand to scratch it. Now, just 2 or 3 minutes in this trance state can be as refreshing as a 2-hour nap, and how useful could that be? And it's so easy to learn. Next, the suggestions go in. For instance, I feel confident, or I exude a powerful stage presence, and so on and so forth. When using commercial hypnosis CDs and tapes, there are often multiple suggestions coming at you from both sides of the stereo image. The conscious mind will only be able to track one or two sentences at a time, leaving the third to slip through to the unconscious under the radar, as it were. And with some CDs, subliminal suggestions are recorded very faintly in the background. You can't hear them consciously, but the unconscious mind will pick them up and act upon them. Finally, the wake-up. And since you are not asleep, wake-up is completely the wrong term. I prefer to use the term outro, being the opposite of intro, I suppose. Anyway, here there are often some extra suggestions to the effect that you'll find it easier to go into trance the next time, or that you'll be able to go deeper into trance the next time. Lastly, there'll be some kind of a command to return you to the normal waking state, and this often takes the form of 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, or something like that. If you find you drift off very deeply during the hypnosis session, then you might only hear the last couple of numbers. This is a good indication of a good deep trance. If you were very tired when you started the session, you might actually drift off to sleep. The hypnotic suggestions won't be as effective, so try choosing a less comfortable chair next time and time your session when you have more energy. In fact, if you suffer from insomnia, then just leave the outro off the playlist. Easy. As well as suggestions, you can also use guided visualizations during trance. And this is phenomenally effective. Sportsmen and women have been using this technique for years, but we can all do it. To convince you of the power of visualization, I need to tell you a few hard, scientifically proven facts. Firstly, and fundamentally importantly, the brain cannot tell the difference between a real action and a vividly imagined action. Think about that for a moment. The brain cannot tell the difference between a real action and a vividly imagined action. Your intellectual, rational, conscious mind knows the difference, but your unconscious mind doesn't. When you're not conscious, you're asleep. And when you're asleep, you vividly imagine things, don't you? Yes, you do. It's called dreaming. And don't dreams feel 100% real at the time? I call it real virtual reality, if you like. It's true. The brain cannot tell the difference between a real action and a vividly imagined action. So, if we vividly imagine feeling alert, enthusiastic, and confident as we play a few dozen times, then when we perform for real, the brain thinks, okay, here we go again, I've experienced this before. And you'll find yourself feeling alert, enthusiastic, and confident, just like you imagined. The only rules are that you have to make the visualization as real as you possibly can, and do it as often as you possibly can. Sadly, we've all been the victim of negative visualization. In a recording session, 20 seconds before the end of the take, you screw up because you'd seen yourself screwing up. You get more and more tense as the take rolls on, all the time thinking, I bet you I missed that twiddly bit in the coda. Sure enough, you do. Negative visualization is just as effective as positive visualization. It's just a lot less desirable. Using hypnosis, we can turn it around. No more red light nerves. How cool would that be? So how come we learnt to be so down on ourselves? Perhaps your teacher at school was a bad communicator and you didn't achieve very much. You might then be of the opinion that you were not very talented or dumb or something. Oftentimes, when we were children, our teachers only told us what to learn and not how to learn. With the right learning strategy, we might have achieved much, much more. Instead, we have mentally rubber-stamped sight reading, for instance, as being difficult. As youngsters, we're never prepared for performing in front of an audience. And when we do, we are like a rabbit in the headlights, petrified. A one-off negative emotion like this can be enough to trigger the same reaction every time you perform. The situation, triggers the memory, and it doesn't seem to matter how deeply the memory might be buried in your unconscious. You might not remember the experience consciously at all, but the reaction is the same. Racing pulse, knotted stomach, sweaty hands, all classic fight-or-flight responses. All inappropriate, and all preventing us from playing at our best. Imagine having the stage presence of Mick Jagger, or the confidence of Buddy Rich, the command of your instrument of Yasha Heifetz, or the focus of John Coltrane. Well, why not? You just need to take a few steps towards reprogramming your unconscious. It won't replace the need for practice, but it's often not our physical abilities that let us down, it's our mental state. We can all play like gods in our bedroom, but on stage in front of a couple of thousand people, not so sure anymore, are you? Hypnosis changes the irrational beliefs that we have about ourselves, and all of a sudden, we break through the blockages that have been there for years. It's not rocket science, and it's not too late to give it a try. For details on the Self-Hypnosis for Musicians CD, as well as a plethora of links to other great hypnosis